Another thing that we're going to want to take a look at early in the course is the concept of data types and variables. Perhaps you've done some programming before in other languages, maybe Python or JavaScript, and if so, you may not be familiar with this concept, because in a language like Python or JavaScript, you don't have to tell the language in advance the data type you're about to give it. You don't have to say, for example, I'm about to give you a number, or I'm about to give you a string. The language is kind of smart enough to figure out what you're trying to provide it. But C is not quite that intelligent. It's a bit of an older language, and we have to be much more precise about what we are telling the language. We have to specify the data type of every variable that we're going to create and use in our programs, only the first time that we use that variable. So if we know that this variable is going to store an integer, we're going to have to explicitly identify it as an integer before we use it for the first time. Now, fortunately in C, there are not too many different data types that we have to get used to, but there are a few. Let's introduce you to those now, as well as a couple of extra special types that are not native to C, but that we wrote ourselves as part of a library that you can also use in CS50. The first of these is integers, which is denoted by the shorthand int. And as you can probably guess, this is going to be to store integer values. On all systems, integers will always take up 4 bytes of memory. And remember that there are 8 bits in a byte, and so this leaves us with 32 bits of information that we can work with. And so we have this range of numbers that can fit within 32 bits. Now remember that each bit can be 0 or 1, so we can do that 32 times, toggling those bits on and off to come up with different combinations of numbers. And because we want the range to be negative numbers and positive numbers, we need to split those 32 bits into 2 halves. So we can go as low as -2^31. Right in the middle of our range is 0, which is just 32 0 bits. And at the top of our range is 2^31 -1, because we had to include that 0 in there. We lose one more on the positive side. But those are the range of values that any integer that we specify in C can take on. There's also a slightly different way to use integers, which is to apply a qualifier to them. And one of the most common qualifiers that you might use is unsigned. And basically, this doesn't change anything else about an integer. It can still only take up 4 bytes or 32 bits. But what we're basically saying when we want an unsigned integer is, I'm not going to need negative values, only positive values. So we effectively double the positive range. We get many more numbers higher than 0. But we can't use any negative numbers at all. And this might be okay, for example, you have a variable that's keeping track of user ID numbers or check-ins to a particular location or something like that, where that number really never goes negative. It doesn't make sense, but you want slightly more of a range. Being able to double your positive range makes a lot more sense. And so we can also declare integers as unsigned integers to restrict them to only positive values. Another common data type is single characters, or char. So this is how we can store letters, A, B, C, or punctuation marks on our keyboard, periods, commas, ampersands, and so on. This range is much smaller. Characters only take up 1 byte instead of 4 bytes of an integer. So there's just 8 bits of information. They're basically just really tiny integers that go from -128 to +127. That's 256 possible values, which is 8 bits, 2^8, 256. Thanks to the ASCII standard, though, which we've previously discussed, we have this system for mapping certain numbers to certain characters. And so we can map, for example, the number 65 to the character capital A, 66 to the character capital B. We've sort of standardized on what these numbers that get stored in these variables mean, so that we can give them something that makes more sense to us visually, right? Like the letter A, the letter B, the letter C, as opposed to the number 65, 66, 67, and so on. So in addition to numbers, integer numbers, we also probably want to be able to represent real numbers. And C actually has 2 data types that are commonly used to handle this, the first of which is called a float. A float, much like an integer, can take up 4 bytes of memory, or 32 bits. And unlike with integers, it's actually not very intuitive to explain the range of a float. And that's because floats have 2 parts. There's an integer part, the part that comes before the decimal point, and then there's the decimal part, what comes after the decimal point, some number that's between 0 and 1. And because of this, we really can't say the lowest possible float is this and the highest possible float is this, because although I'm sort of greatly generalizing here, we have this integer part and this decimal part. And the larger our integer part is, maybe it's 1 million point something, that maybe comes at the expense of how many numbers we can put after the decimal point. And so there's this sort of balance and tension that we have with floats in terms of the range of values they can take on. But in general, floats are used to take on decimal or real numbers. If we know we're going to need a lot of extra precision after the decimal point and we might still have a big number, or we just need a number to 20, 25, 30 decimal places, the other data type that we have available to us is a double. Double is short for a double precision floating point value. And as you probably could guess, if it's double precise, it's double the size. So instead of being 4 bytes, which would be the case for a float or 32 bits, doubles will take up 8 bytes or 64 bits. And so with these extra 32 bits available, doubles have the ability to be much more precise when describing real numbers than floats. But of course, that comes at the expense of using a bit more memory to do so. Now we have this sort of corner case type, which isn't really a data type, but it's a type that you'll see quite a bit in C, and that is the concept of void. So void is a type, but it is not a data type. We cannot assign variables, for example, to be of type void, but functions can have a void return type, which basically means they don't return anything. So a common example of this you might see as you begin programming and sort of tinkering with different ideas is the concept of generating random numbers. C has two functions that are built in for random number generation, the first of which is called rand, which basically returns a random number. And as you can guess, because it's returning a number, it is not void. But there is a second function that goes with rand called srand, which basically means seeding the random number generator, having it start at a certain number and then generating numbers from there. That function, we're just saying, I want you to seed the random number generator to some value. That function doesn't have to return anything to us. And so if you actually investigate by looking at the man pages or of reference 50, you'll see that srand's return type is actually void. It doesn't return a value to us at all. So functions can have a void return type. They can also have a void parameter list. And there's something you've probably seen quite a bit that has a void parameter list, and that's main, at least early on when we're doing our programming, int main parentheses void. What we're basically saying is main, the function main, doesn't take any inputs. That'll change later on in the course when we introduce the concept of command line arguments. But for now, main isn't taking any inputs at all. And so its input list or its parameter list is void. So for now, you can think of void as just a placeholder for nothing. It returns nothing. It has no parameters or so on. It is a bit more complex than that when we get to talking about pointers much later in the course, several weeks away. We might be able to nuance this a little bit more by introducing the concept of void star pointers, but we don't need to worry about that for now. For now, you can just think of void as a placeholder for nothing. So those are the main types that you'll encounter in C that are native to C. But in CS50, we provide you with a couple of extra types that will probably come in handy. These are basically wrappers for slightly more complex ways to use these data types in C, and we just kind of streamline it a little bit. So these two data types are, first, bools. So the bool data type is used for variables that can take on true or false values. That's it. Those are the only two values they can possibly take on. So hypothetically, we could store these. The size of this data type could be as small as a single bit. Unfortunately, in C, we don't quite have that level of precision. And so these also take up a byte, but that's 7 bits of wasted space, effectively. But we can use these when we know values can only take on, the value of a variable can only be true or false. We can declare that variable as being of type bool. In order to use the bool data type, you need to pound include cs50.h at the top of your program. Similarly, do you need to pound include cs50.h at the top of your program to use our data type called string. And a string is used for any variable that will store like a word or a sentence, multiple characters, as opposed to just the single character, for which we might use char. These sets of characters, words, phrases, sentences, and so on, are typically called strings. And so if you are ever storing data of that type, where it's going to be multiple characters, you would use the string data type, pound including cs50.h, when you're declaring that variable. So later on in the course, we'll see some slightly more complex things. We can see structures, which are collections of data. We'll be able to see types that we can create on our own, which are called type defines or type defs. But we don't need to worry about that for now. We'll just work with the basic variable types for now, but know that there is more flexibility out there than just these couple options that C has natively built in. And really quickly before we wrap up, let's show you how to create variables, literally using C syntax, change them, and just work with these variables more generally. So as we mentioned at the very beginning of this video, in C, whenever you create a variable, you bring that variable into existence saying, I'm going to be using it at some point in this program. We have to give it a name and we have to explicitly identify the data type for that variable. So that's what we're doing here. In green, as you can see, I'm just specifying the data type and then I'm giving the variable name. So I'm declaring or saying to the system, I'm creating a new variable called number. And the only types of values that I can put inside of number are integers. And similarly with letter, the only types of data that I can put inside of letter, the variable letter, are ones that are characters. The letter A, the letter B, the number through the character 3, or like an ampersand or a punctuation mark or so on. So that's all we have to do to create a variable. Give it a type, give it a name. And if we want to create multiple variables at the same time, we can also do that by just having a comma-separated list and only using the type specifier the one time. So I can have int height comma width that actually declares two variables for me, one integer called height, one integer called width, and so on. In general, it's best practice to only declare variables when you need them. You don't have to say every variable that you're going to use way early in your program. You can just use it right before you need it. That you don't need to say things so far in advance. So that's creating a variable. Now let's use a variable. Once you've declared the variable, you don't need to keep specifying its type anymore. And actually that can be a bad thing. You don't really actually want to do that. So you only need to specify the type of a variable when you bring it into existence for the first time. So here I'm declaring a variable called number of data type integer. Then I'm assigning the value 17. So I'm putting 17 into that variable. Notice that I'm not saying int again anymore. I've already said it. I've declared and created the variable. Now I'm just going to assign a value to it. Similarly, I'm going to declare the variable letter of type char and assign the character h to be inside of that. There is one special case where you can declare and set the value of a variable at the same time. It's called instantiating or initializing. And you can basically consolidate these two things into one step. So instead of doing int number, number equals 17, I could just say int number equals 17. So I'm basically doing the declaration on the left and the assignment on the right. And that's really all you need to know to get started working with variables. Just remember, every time you create a variable in C, you have to specify its type. Once the variable is created, then you don't need to use the type anymore. You can just assign values of the correct type to that variable. I'm Doug Lloyd. This is CS50.